Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies. So gather your virtual piggy bank and let's get started.
Brian, welcome to Crypto Nights. We are very excited to have you as a guest speaker today.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to be here as well.
Great. Why don't we kick it off? I know we have a lot to talk. Why don't we jump right in? I want to start off, Fran, with your personal background. What is your background and how did you come about Internext?
Yeah, I'm Fran indeed. I'm the CEO of Internext and right now I'm 21. And basically my background, before starting Internext, I had a web hosting company called OneSide, and I worked for a web hosting company also called Hostinger. And, you know, my life was cool, but I really like new tech and I really like entrepreneurship. And I thought that I go into something more exciting. And OneSide was growing fine, my previous company, but it wasn't a very mature, very stable industry. So I thought of ways of making it grow faster, and decentralizing websites and decentralization was something that I was looking at as an extension, to OneSide and making it grow faster. So, but after checking it out in depth, it was so exciting that I decided to sell OneSide and leave Hostinger and start a whole project around decentralization, and that's Internext.
I see. Okay, so you're young, but you started off pretty early, so you seem to have several years of experience.
I failed enough, learned a lot till today already.
Great. Mm-hmm. So that's very exciting. Mm-hmm. Now let's jump into Internext. Can you give us an idea of what was the backstory? What was the genesis? What was the aha moment where you decided, wow, I need to do Internext? And then how do you pull your team together? And what is the philosophical intent? Things like that.
So Internext is a tech company. It's an innovative tech company that is trying to do things differently and better than other companies. So our main goal is disrupting different industries through the use of this of revolutionary technology. So right now we are disrupting the cloud industry through the use of decentralization. But afterwards we may tackle a different industry and we may disrupt it with a different technology by providing a superior service in another way. So just like for instance, Tesla did in the car industry with autonomous and electric cars. We are trying to do in different industries. So right now we're tackling the cloud industry by providing a more secure and more private cloud storage service. I assume we will talk about later. But in general, that's what we're doing at Internext. And we're a group of people that are really excited about what we're doing and that we think that we can do things really cool and better than our competition. And basically people who are part of Internext in terms of people who buy our services are not only buying a superior service but are also part of a really exciting movement.
So if I have extra storage, I can benefit by contributing that storage to this Internext?
Yeah, so our cloud service is called xCloud, and as a host you can donate you can give storage space from your laptop or from your computer to the network to host encrypted pieces of files, basically, and you will get you will earn money for that. Yeah,
I see. Is that a standard amount that I will earn, or is it going to be based on what the current cost or the price of Internext token is?
Yeah, so price of our service is tied to dollars. So people will be paying in Internext tokens, and but they will be paying a dollar amount, so say $3 a month or $10 per month. And with all the Internext tokens we collect, we will be distributing them to host according to a formula that we take into consideration: uptime, networks, storage space that you've been contributing. So the amount of storage, the amount of dollars you're going to be earning every month really depends on how many clients we've had, how much they've paid, and how much you've contributed. So it's very variable.
Okay, now why will, if, let's take the other end. One is I'm contributing my space. The other end is I want space. I have that situation where my mom loves taking pictures. She keeps running out of space, so I keep buying cloud space. But I find Dropbox will charge, I don't know what it is, $100 a year for a terabyte. And Google has some similar programs. Yep. So I have two alternatives. I use some of them, but I'm also the kind that is looking for better alternatives. So why would Internext be better? Is it cheaper? Is it better in some other way? What are the benefits?
Right. So in terms of pricing, we're pretty competitive. So like when we looked at the cloud storage industry, we didn't think pricing or reliability were points where we could where the service could be improved, because as a matter of fact, when I use Google Drive or when I use Dropbox, the service is usually online and the price is very competitive already. So it's a highly commoditized industry, and that was fine. What we thought we could tackle, and that's what we're trying to, that's our, the unique selling points of xCloud, is providing higher security and higher privacy than what these currently massively adopted companies are providing. So our solution is much more secure, much more private than what's currently out there, and that's what we're trying to do. So yeah.
I was under the impression that Google Drive and Dropbox are both secure and private, or did I miss something? Am I missing something?
Yeah. So that's a very interesting question. So that's the how are we more secure and private. So how we are doing it is when we take your files, we end-to-end encrypt them and we split them into pieces, and we don't store them ourselves, and we don't store your private. So your files are stored everywhere. No one really owns them, because they're like, no one has access to your files. No one has access to your private keys. So you're the only owner of your files. When you store them on a centralized provider, usually your files aren't going to be end-to-end encrypted. Or if they are, the company itself has the key to your, like the decryption key to your files. So governments or the company itself can access them. And a hacker also, they have a unique, like a single point of attack, which is that very company. In our case, your files are stored all over the world. And even if a hacker was to hack one of these hosts, he would only gain access to encrypted pieces of files, like that basically are completely useless. So it's a much more secure and private solution than what's currently out there.
So Fran, let me understand this. This is very important because it's your primary value proposition. So you are telling me technically either Google or Dropbox can actually see what is in my files?
I mean, it really varies on the company. Apple is offering cloud storage, Dropbox is offering cloud storage. In general, currently massively adopted services can usually access your files, and so can governments, and so can usually, I mean, and hackers also can have it way easier than if your files are basically end-to-end encrypted, split into pieces, and hosted all over the world. So it's one more layer of security and privacy that these providers do not provide, and that's basically because we are using decentralization, which is a new technology that these companies are simply not implementing, because they are centralized providers. So through decentralization, we are able to provide a more secure and more private alternative to what's currently out there on average.
So let's take one of the problems that I have, right? So for instance, recently, Ian Ballina, who is one of the people that promotes how to pick certain ICOs to invest in, and he was running a live event, and I think somebody tunneled their way onto his computer, hacked into his Evernote, stole his private key, and stole about $2 million worth of his assets, in crypto assets, from, I don't know, my Ether wallet or something like that. So my question to you is, could I potentially, instead of using Evernote, if I had used xCloud?
Yeah, right? Correct.
Would that have been prevented?
Yeah, so there's many ways in which a hacker can access your files. So one of them is targeting, you know, where the servers are, like where the cloud servers are. So for example, if you want to attack Dropbox, you can tackle the data center. You can attack the data center where the files are. But another way of doing so, another way of hacking into someone's files, is by indeed, you know, entering in their own computer and gaining access to the app where he hosts the files and just downloading them, which turns out is probably way more simple than circumventing Dropbox security. And the problem is that current applications aren't built around security. So when you use Dropbox, when you use these massively adopted cloud services, they usually don't even implement two-factor authentication. When you turn your computer on, you have access to your cloud in a very straightforward manner. So basically, anyone who gains access to your laptop can literally just go into it and download your files in a very simple way. So that's another point of failure these guys have, and that basically comes into the same issue, which is that they aren't built around security.
Yeah. No, I'm not talking about any theoretical problem. What I described is a real life scenario.
Yeah, I'm aware. Yeah, yeah. Correct. So if you would have used xCloud with two-factor authentication, for instance, activated, that would not have happened, because basically they couldn't have had access to his web app or to his desktop app.
Okay, so I found a real use case right there. So you are really not to be marketed as a cloud storage company at all. So you could be, for example, marketed as a cloud storage for a crypto private keys, wallet addresses.
I mean, private keys are usually less and less used. I mean, I believe that people usually either have their money on an exchange or they just use Trezor. I mean, storing
exchange
on
exchange is the riskiest place.
It is risky, but it is also very risky to store it plain on a private key, which you're going to be pasting everywhere, and which is going to be stored in plain text on your computer. So I'm pretty sure that, you know, having your Bitcoin on Coinbase is probably much safer than that.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you store them in some shit exchange, then definitely not. But on average, storing stuff on your private key is not a very secure way of doing so. But definitely, I mean, if people do store their stuff on a private key, which I wouldn't recommend, they can certainly use xCloud, because that will definitely improve the security of their files. Yeah, in this case, the private.
Okay, so bad example. Let me try to find a better one. So suppose I had some business documents and contracts.
Yeah.
Right. So if I have business documents, contracts, maybe even a living trust or a will that I wrote, right? And I want them to be saved somewhere.
Yeah.
What would I do?
So if you're, for instance, a company that has business plans or accounting information that obviously wants it to be stored on the cloud, so that, you know, the employees or whoever you want to give access to can access to it, you don't want anyone else to have access to it. You don't want Google to have access to it. You don't want a government to have access to it. You don't want a hacker to have access to it. So for those kind of confidential documents, it is super interesting. And also from a government perspective, if I am, the government of whatever country, I don't want the government of another country to have access to my file, because I want to make sure that they are completely secure and safe. So that's another use case. So governments, corporations, and definitely customers also who, they just require a decent amount of privacy and security that they're basically not getting right now. So right now, when you're using the cloud, it's not only your cloud, it's the cloud and the cloud of a shit ton of people, that can basically gain access to your file. With our cloud, we're giving you all the benefits of the cloud, which is you can access your files from anywhere, but it's really only your cloud. So that's what's interesting about xCloud.
Okay. So I think I'm getting the idea. So there are at least two or three different types of target users for you. Number one is the individual user who has secure document.
Yep, correct.
He wants to utilize your cloud storage for secure cryptographically encoded type of a thing.
Correct.
So that you feel safe, and maybe there's somebody high up in an African nation, and there's a danger of a coup, and they might be kicked out of the country, and they have everything in the cloud, so they can start their life up in a different country, for example. So, or it might be somebody like me. I have maybe bank account information, wills, living trusts, and not for my daily use type of documents, but the higher security type of documents. I might want to utilize xCloud. And then there might be, this is a great enterprise.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, enterprises are
service. So literally see small, medium-sized businesses.
Totally, absolutely.
100% utilizing this. And for them, if I look at it as a consumer, a very commoditized service of storage, I'm not very excited about the price point. But if I look at it as an enterprise, and I say, oh, these are sensitive documents that I do not want anybody to access, definitely not the government to get access to them, for example. Not that there is anything to hide, but it is maintaining privacy of the company and the company.
Yeah. Correct.
So assuming they do that, then the price points that you're mentioning are extremely attractive.
Yeah, totally. I think enterprises and startups are probably our main focus for xCloud.
Okay. And then we have the governments, of course.
Correct.
Maybe you'll start off with the smaller governments and build it up or something.
Yeah, like. I mean, we definitely have to, once we release the beta, once we release the stable version, we still have to work a lot on the infrastructure to make sure that it, meets the requirements a big enterprise or a big government would require, because they definitely need a lot of checks from different companies, verifying that everything works well and that there's no, bugs at all. I mean, as the product matures, I do see, more and more people coming on board.
And in order to pay for the service, should I pay in Internext tokens or can I pay it in credit card?
Yeah. So for the beta, you will be only able to pay in Internext tokens. But from the stable version onwards, we will also enable dollar payment. But the interesting thing is that Internext tokens do have a utility, because that's the whole point of them. So people who pay in dollars, those dollars will be automatically converted into tokens by buying them off market. And that will happen in the background. And then all the Internext tokens collectively will be paid to hold. So we did that as a way to not, because if we only allow Internext token payments like directly, that's a bottleneck towards mass adoption. But you know, we've circumvented that by allowing, by you know, permitting people to pay in dollars from the stable version onwards, and basically on the backgrounds, next tokens that are still being used.
Okay. So the way it'll work is I could whip out my credit card, not right now, but at the right point in time when you release that feature, yeah. I'm going to whip out my credit card and say $100, and maybe it's a renewing every year kind of a thing, and I pay using my card, and the dollars go into the market, purchase the Internext tokens, and those tokens are then paid to you as a company, I'm imagining, and in exchange for the service, and then you're going to disseminate a portion, a percentage of that will be your profit, presumably, some of the tokens, and the rest of the tokens are going to be distributed for the peer-to-peer storage system to work.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it works. We won't be making any profits during 2018, I believe, because we want to focus on growing the network as much as possible, and and getting enough people on board. Because since we are, you know, a commission-based company like Uber or Airbnb, which are kind of decentralized, like peer-to-peer as well, we earn a commission per transaction. So we want to make sure that we have enough people on board to start earning commissions. Because if we have 1,000 customers earning, a small commission on those transactions, doesn't really make much sense. But if we, you know, are able to grow our network as much as possible, once it's mature enough, we can start focusing on, getting also a cut out of the revenue. Yeah.
Right. So, and in that regard, towards probably the last quarter of last year, you already did your token generation event, you raised some money, and you're now running as fast as you can to build out your product.
Correct.
So give us a little bit about when can we expect to see a product rollout?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so indeed in September 2017, we did our really small crowd sale. And, you know, nowadays people think that you can't build a company unless you have $100 million or $500 million in the bank, because that's what ICOs have made people think. But truth be said, before ICOs, you know, companies started with literally nothing or very little funds. So for us, you know, being able to start with something, thanks to an ICO, that was a great push towards, you know, making our company better. So that happened in September 2017, and then we've been focusing on product, and now we're starting to get to, you know, to do some marketing to start gaining awareness for the beta. So the beta is coming out in Q3. And it'll be basically a fully functioning version of xCloud. And yeah, basically, you know, it's for early adopters because we only accept Internext payment. And, you know, some bugs may have, will definitely have to be expected. But yeah, it's a version for early adopters. And that will be released in Q3. And then in Q4, as we improve the network and the infrastructure, we will release the stable version in which we will also accept dollars, because we expect, you know, many more mass market players to come on board.
Yeah, makes sense. So for all of this to operate, I'm a PhD in computer science, so I tend to be skeptical about code. As you know, testing of code only shows the presence of bugs, never their absence, and we have seen this many, many times. Mm-hmm. Look at the multisig parity wallet, how much money has been stolen from that is...
Correct.
...is unholy. So
totally.
Your company security and the smart contracts are only as good as the code that it produces. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it'll be the exact opposite of what people expect. So what are you doing to make sure that the smart contracts and the code that you develop is solid and robust?
Yeah. So when you talk about smart contracts, like our infrastructure doesn't run on smart contracts. I don't know if you were referring to that. We use smart contracts only for the payment system. So in terms of our infrastructure...
I did not know that, but you can actually show us the payment architecture separately and then the infrastructure itself. Maybe you can paint a little bit of the technology architecture, not very deep, but
so our cloud infrastructure is a, you know, peer-to-peer decentralized infrastructure. When we take a file, we split it into pieces, we end-to-end encrypt it, and then we replicate it into different machines on the network. So basically hosts are, you know, hosting small pieces of encrypted file. That's how the network works. It's not based on blockchain. It's just blockchain is one of the technologies inside the umbrella of decentralization, if you want. But we are, you know, a purely decentralized company, like in terms of our infrastructure. And we do use blockchain for the payment system. We are Internext tokens are on ERC-20, so that uses the Ethereum blockchain for the payment system. So that's how the architecture more or less works. And then
your technology, the peer-to-peer architecture, the decentralized architecture, is going to be more like Skype, which is not on a blockchain, but it is a peer-to-peer mm-hmm. architecture, but the payment system is on the blockchain. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, so both are decentralized.
I understand that.
Only the payment system will make use of the blockchain. And just like any, as you mentioned, just like anything, there's going to be bugs to be expected. Indeed. And that's basically, you know, what developers are constantly working on, actually fixing bugs. So as we make our networks, our infrastructure stronger, you know, we expect more people to come on board because, you know, you'll have more, you know, higher levels of security. And we for instance, in contact with a company called Haken, which will be, you know, reviewing all our infrastructure and trying to hack it and trying to find vulnerabilities so that, you know, we can work on these and keep improving the infrastructure. And we will be constantly, you know, working with these kind of companies to keep auditing our infrastructure and, you know, keep finding ways to, you know, circumvent this, you know, this decentralized infrastructure that we've built so that we make sure that we're constantly, you know, number one in security and privacy.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot more that you can do as a new company. Either you can start off with an open source code that is out there that has already been proven for. At the end of the day, security is only proven by the longevity. How long has it been around and it has not been broken into?
Correct.
If you ask me, in the crypto world, the most solid in terms of security is Bitcoin.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah,
the longest, right?
Yeah, totally.
And then Ethereum and so on. So only time will tell how solid this is. Having said that, there are ways of making this better by crowdsourcing and crowdfunding. You can probably use a bounty program to help.
Yeah, we're totally going to do that. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, to motivate people to find the bugs.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And then, yeah, so there are ways of mitigating the risks, which I'm sure you're doing.
Totally.
So Q3 will be the beta release and you said Q4 will be the full production?
Correct. Yeah, that's right.
So is the beta release free or do we start paying from the beta release? When do we start?
So the beta we'll already be a paid version. And, you know, we expect, you know, early adopters and super excited people who have known about us since the very beginning to start using it. And, you know, those people will be with us since the very beginning. They will, as I said, start paying with Internet Token. And yeah, that's what the beta version will be for. It comes with a 7-day free trial, though. So people who sign up on our waiting list will have the option, you know, to sign up for the 7-day free trial in the beta. And then, you know, if they like it, they can for sure renew.
Yeah. So how easy is it to retrieve? So one of the biggest nightmares about backups, for example, if you use AWS as a cloud storage mechanism for your files, everybody feels that, wow, it's cheaper or whatever the number of reasons they might give. But if you ever have the misfortune of losing a file and you try to retrieve it on Amazon, on AWS, it's a blooming nightmare, right? So is that the user experience design that you're going to be working on? Is it easy to retrieve the files or how hard is it going to be?
Yeah, in terms of backups, that's definitely something we are, you know, very concerned about because indeed when you, you know, suddenly delete a file from your cloud and say you were hosting your private key or, you know, your accounting from 2017 or 2018 and then you suddenly delete it, you definitely want it to be there long enough. And, you know, what currently massively adopted, you know, players are doing like Google or Dropbox are indeed storing these files, you know, for a certain period of time so that in case you want to retrieve them, you can just go there and retrieve it. So get it back. And that's the kind of stuff we're planning to do. So, and that's the kind of stuff that, you know, our more direct competitors like Storage or Saya aren't focusing on. So they're, you know, focusing on building a technology, which is great. And so are we. But they're not focusing on the mass market application. So if you're going to give this product to the mass market, they expect it to be as good and as simple to use as Google Drive and then give them a plus. But if it's extremely complex to use and it's basically a, you know, super bad, although, you know, it may be more secure, I mean, no one's going to be able to use it. So that's what we're trying to, you know, to do at Internext with xCloud.
And the reason why, I meant to ask this earlier, the reason why your cloud infrastructure itself is not on the blockchain is because of speed and scalability?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Storage is, for instance, isn't on the blockchain either. So for file storage, you know, being on the blockchain is not so interesting at all. So as I said, blockchain is, as you definitely know, one of the a decentralized technology, but it has some good uses and some bad uses. So for payments, for instance, it's very interesting. For identity identification, for instance, that's what Civic is doing. That's also very interesting, a very interesting application of blockchain. But that decentralized technology doesn't fit for everything. And that, one of the things, in my opinion, it doesn't currently fit well is, cloud storage for an actual mass market.
I'm so thankful to you for mentioning that, because there are people that think blockchain is a solution for everything. And
yeah,
that
totally not
all the case. It actually is a pretty bad database for many
yeah, absolutely.
People. So
yeah, totally,
it's
totally.
Too expensive, it's too slow, it's non-scalable. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So if there are listeners that want to keep up with the project and be somehow engaged, where do you recommend that they go?
Yeah, I mean, they can go to internex.com for sure, check out our website, check out our cloud solution, what is it about, like what xCloud is all about. And they can also go onto YouTube and type internex, and they will find, you know, many, many videos of, you know, different people talking about it. And yeah,
can
I mean, and
spell that out, because I don't think internext is a spelling that everybody will know. Can you spell that out?
Yeah, so it's internext. So without, so like internext, but without an E,
yeah.
Basically.
It's missing the E in the next.
Yeah, so no E, correct.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. So they can go to internext.com.
Yeah,
and,
they can do that.
Do you have a Telegram group or a Slack group?
Exactly. Yeah, so our social media structure is that we use Medium for the blog and for the most important announcements, like for the very essential stuff that we want to, you know, talk about for sure. Twitter for the very, like, for also, you know, important announcements. And then Telegram, we use it to discuss all this stuff that we announce and for community feedback and so on. So those are the three main social media accounts we have.
Okay. And is there going to be a Dropbox like mechanism? Remember Dropbox in the beginning when I brought new users to their ecosystem, they actually gave me additional free storage.
Totally. Yeah. So, you know, as I said in the beginning, growing our network is our priority number one. And that's, you know, that's basically what we're here for, you know, and one of our, you know, priorities. So, you know, giving some kind of referral, you know, price for people, you know, who help us bring more customers. That's definitely something we will be doing. It won't be happening in the beta, but it's something we're definitely going to
do. That's great. And Fran, this has been a phenomenal podcast with you. Are there any other points you wish to make with our audience? Maybe I did not ask some of the questions that you were hoping I would ask. So are there
I think you've covered everything, you know, very well. So, you know, I mean, I welcome everyone who, you know, thinks that things can be done differently and better than how they're currently done, and want to be part of a very exciting project, you know, to check out internext. And, you know, they can, if they want to use our beta, they can buy internext tokens from exchanges or from our website, which we recently implemented that feature, so people can buy internext tokens from our website. And what happens in the background is that so basically you have to send Bitcoin to an address, that address automatically detects when the Bitcoin are received, and then we send you the tokens directly. And in the background, what happens is that we buy tokens from an exchange, and then we send you the internext tokens to your address. So you don't have to sign up anywhere. So you don't need an exchange at all. You just go to our website, type your deposit address, send the amount of Bitcoin you want for the tokens, and that's it. So it's a super simple way of buying tokens as well.
Wow, that's very, very exciting. I'm so excited for you, and I wish you the very best, and look forward to having you back here after the Q3 release of the beta.
Absolutely.
And also back here again in the full production. So we wish you the very best to you and your team. Thank you for joining
us. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Knights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptonights.io.